Partisan scorekeepers have spoken clearly. Trump care means higher costs for less coverage. The CBO report should be a knockout blow for Republicans in Congress. They should heed this warning and turn back from their plan that would be a disaster for the country.
But Obamacare has worked out so well for the country, Senator Schumer. Oh, but he emerged yesterday and was strutting his stuff with Nancy Pelosi. The cameras, the microphones were all there. And, well, they make an emotional appeal against what the Republicans are trying to do. It's not all that fact-based, but it's emotional. Republicans tend to respond with charts and numbers. Charts and numbers are brittle things. But they want to go right to the sob stories, and they think they have the emotion on their side. But the CBO report said that by 2026, there'll be 24 million people who do not have health insurance, although lots of savings over the next decade, $343 billion in savings on the deficit. Joining us now, I'm delighted he is with us, Vice President Mike Pence, to discuss this and so much more. Surviving the blizzard in Washington, D.C. Vice President Pence, how are you? Great to talk to you.
I'm great, Laura. Good to be with you. And for a city known for snow jobs, they got a pretty good dose.
But oh, my goodness.
The White House got here early. We're working hard.
Well, let's talk about the Democrat assault on what you all are trying to do. Yesterday, it was an all-out push against the Ryan idea, the Ryan plan. Your reaction to Schumer and to many others today who say, look, Donald Trump promised coverage for Americans who want coverage, and this will leave many uncovered.
Well, I certainly understand why they want to change the subject from Obamacare. Obamacare is a disaster, as you just said. It is collapsing. I was in Kentucky this last Saturday. And Humana, the large health insurance provider, is actually based in Louisville, Kentucky. They just announced that they're pulling out of the Kentucky healthcare exchange because they can't make it work, even though they're based in Kentucky. Anthem just sent out a letter, one of the largest insurers in the country, announcing that they are poised to be pulling out of healthcare exchanges. That literally is collapsing. I have to tell you that while there's so much focus on the CBO score, and I'm happy to talk to you about that, the very suggestion that enrollment, you see some of these lines of uninsured, the very idea that enrollment under Obamacare is going to remain the same where it is, ignores the fact that insurance companies around the country are literally fleeing from these healthcare exchanges. Obamacare is a collapsing building a failed public policy, and what the president has called on the Congress to do, and what the Congress is in the process of beginning, is a multi-step process that will repeal Obamacare in its entirety and replace it with health policies that give the American people more choices, that allow the free market to work, that allow states to innovate and reform Medicaid in ways that will serve people's needs more effectively and more efficiently, and we're going to continue. We're going to continue to drive that policy forward, even as we amend the bill, we work through the bill, we improve it along the way.
On the issue of repealing it entirely, I'll take issue with that because I think the under 26 is not repealed, the pre-existing condition issue is not repealed. You exchange subsidies for tax credits, which is different, but still will ultimately cost the Treasury some money. But Tom Cotton specifically responded to that idea of the multi-step process yesterday on our show.
Let me just say this, Laura, about this so-called three-phase process. That's just not going to happen. That's just politicians' talk. It's just all talk. It's just spin. Phase one under this, as you say, is a so-called reconciliation bill that can pass with a simple majority in the Senate. Phase two is as yet unwritten regulations, which are going to be subject to the whims of the most liberal judge in America. And phase three is some imaginary bill that might pass with Democratic support. Well, if we had Democratic support, we wouldn't need phase two and phase three.
What of that, Vice President Pence?
Well, first off, Senator Cotton is my friend, and he is a great American. I'm looking forward to sitting down with him over coffee when I'm back on Capitol Hill this afternoon. But look, I there's a lot of things about President Donald Trump that people said would never happen, right? And I'll tell you, the president is absolutely committed to keep the promise he made to the American people to repeal Obamacare. This first bill will basically take all the worst elements of Obamacare out, the tax increases, the penalties. I mean, it essentially takes away the core of Obamacare, which is the ability to force people to buy health insurance or pay a tax if they don't. That goes away. We block grant Medicaid to the states. We do it essentially giving the states more freedom, more flexibility to reform Medicaid.
I think that's all good.
And then through the regulation, it's historic. You know that. You've been a champion of that for many years, Laura. That Tom Price is currently working on regulations that will allow a national marketplace to be created on a regulatory basis, stabilize the insurance markets. But the president is absolutely determined. And you know, there's about 10 Democrats in the Senate who were elected and are up for re-election, rather. They were elected in states that went strongly for President Trump on November the 8th. We're going to go out and go into those states and say, look, we want to wipe away every last vestige of this disastrous policy of Obamacare, and we want to put into the law that people will be able to buy health insurance across state lines. That's a fight the president is willing to take all across this country, including to Senator Cotton's state, and mm-hmm. I'll be right there shoulder to shoulder with him, and we're going to win that argument.
I think most Republicans agree on the substance of what you're saying, what Ryan has promised in these other stages. I think what both Rand Paul and Tom Cotton are saying is Republicans tend to lose the narrative on what something represents if they don't go bold. And so going bold, and I spoke to Rand Paul at length about this yesterday, going bold is a full repeal of Obamacare, full, now. Right. At the same time, what Donald Trump promised on the campaign trail, an immediate replacement bill, which would force the Democrats to defend a lack of competition across state lines, the antitrust exemptions for the healthcare industry, the monopolistic practices of healthcare providers, the lack of transparency and pricing of healthcare services, all those things that would be promised down the road in a phase three. Why not have that argument now? If you're going to be able to do it in phase three, do it right now. Suddenly they become the defenders of the status quo, and the Republicans become the innovators for broadened choices and more coverage. That's their point. And wouldn't that unify the Republican Party, Vice President Pence, around those very ideas that I think you support and Donald Trump supports, and do it now? That way you guys have all that running room to go to all those states like, you know, Wisconsin and North Dakota, right, and all those vulnerable senators. Do it right now with the full replacement vehicle.
Well, let me say same thing about Senator Rand Paul. I said about Tom Cotton. These are great senators. These are great conservatives. But look, the president wanted to do repeal and replace at the same time. And the fact is that in this first bill, we will be doing historic reform of Medicaid. Now, we could just, you know, I guess you could just go the route the Congress went a year ago, and that is just undo everything and then try and do the Medicaid thing down the road. But the president said, look, let's do everything that we can do in this budget bill that only requires 51 votes, and we're doing a broad range of things, health savings accounts being expanded, Medicaid going down to the states where we can innovate in ways like, frankly, we did a little bit of in the state of Indiana, and pulling out those tax increases, I think $500 billion in tax increases imposed on American families. But do what you can do right now, do what we can do through regulation, and then I promise you, like, I don't have to tell you because you know the president very well and he thinks the world of you. The president is anxious to go out and fight for the balance of this repeal and replace plan. We all are. We all know we can go win it. But let's do what we can to pull this failed policy off the backs of American families. I don't know if you checked out. The president literally had Obamacare victims from around the country sitting in the Roosevelt Room just day before yesterday. And these are heartbreaking stories, Laura, of people who literally have lost their
coverage. No, we all agree on this. This is all agreement.
I mean,
we're unified on that point.
I know, but the people, what the other side does in the media, not you, what many in the national media do is they say, well, if you have coverage under Obamacare, then you have care.
Oh, no. Access to coverage doesn't mean care.
Sat around the table, they said, look, I've got a card in my pocket. I got a big subsidy, but I got a deductible of $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000. So I essentially don't have health care for my family. And the president knows we can do better than that.
Do you think Vice President Pence, that there, you know, you think this legislation as it is now is going to, this is going to pass? I mean, my view is if Ryan had the votes, they'd call the vote. They don't have the votes for this right now. Otherwise, they'd call the vote. And the Senate is probably a bigger hurdle. Do you think this is going to pass the way it is? And if not, would you go back to the drawing board, pull Obamacare altogether, and go for the full repeal and a broad-based legislation that includes all the things you're talking about?
Well, the reason it's not being called to a vote right now is because, different than Obamacare, the House of Representatives is going through the committee process. They did two committees last week, budget committee this week. I mean, they literally are doing all of this in the public, out in the open. It'll be on the floor next week. There are amendments being considered as we speak to improve this bill. The leadership in the White House are all listening carefully.
I hope it's not a trap.
About ways we can improve.
I worry it's a trap, Vice President Pence, for both you and President Trump. That's what my concern is.
I understand that.
Because I want you to be successful. Can we move just to one more topic? Because I think we've gotten all we can get on the health care. Julian Assange, of course, the WikiLeaks founder, has tweeted out two fairly controversial, incendiary things today. He said that Clinton stated privately this month that she is quietly pushing for a Pence takeover. She stated that Pence is predictable, hence defeatable. And they quote two sources, intelligence community sources, who didn't say that you agree with this takeover, but that intelligence community officials close to Pence stated privately this month that they're planning on a Pence takeover. What's your reaction to that?
I would find that all of that dialogue to be absurd and, frankly, offensive. It is the greatest honor of my life to serve shoulder to shoulder with the 45th president of the United States, and to see his leadership every day, to see the compassion that he has for the American people every day. I would dismiss that out of hand and tell you that I'm so excited about the progress that we've made, strengthening this country, protecting this country, reviving this country's economy, and all credit goes to President Donald Trump.
Do you think that that we as Republicans and President Trump specifically, it's easy to talk about what's bad with liberalism, and I do that a lot, but maybe we need to talk about what's great about conservatism. More choices, more freedom, greater competition. I think that inspirational, aspirational rhetoric that we heard in the joint session speech, it was so great. I just love that speech. That was like, I was on cloud nine after that speech. It was awesome. And I think you've done that a lot throughout your career. I think, again, it makes the Democrats defend the status quo, which is terrible. We like that.
So is the president. I mean, you've known the president a long time. I mean, he is an optimist. He's a man that believes in this country. I mean, at the very core of this debate over Obamacare is their vision, Chuck Schumer's vision, Barack Obama's vision, was to order every American to buy health insurance or pay a tax if they didn't. What President Trump believes in is, if you unleash the power of the marketplace, if you give Americans more choices and create a competitive environment, you'll see costs come down. Americans will buy health insurance that they want, not that the government dictates. And you give states more freedom to reform Medicaid in ways that will truly better serve the needs of our most vulnerable.
You don't think their budgets are going to get busted down the road, Vice President Pence, that their budgets are going to bust up down the road with more burdens on the health care, and they're not going to have the money to cover it?
Well, I honestly believe that the answer in the 21st century, and the president believes this, the answer in the 21st century to our health care needs is the American solution of more choices, more free market. I mean, you give the American people the ability to buy health insurance across state lines. You give states the ability to reform Medicaid. You create these laboratories of democracy and innovation. That's how we've always solved complex problems in the history of this country. Mm-hmm. And that's how we will chart a healthcare future under President Donald Trump that the American people can afford and that leads to a better quality of life and healthcare for everyone.
Vice President Pence, it is always such a great pleasure to have you on the show, and we really appreciate all your time. Thank you so much for what you're doing for this country and what you're doing for this administration. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura. God bless.
All right, we'll take a break. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.